Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Let's bow for prayer. Going to be looking here in verses 32 to 37. If I was, well, I guess I did, didn't I? To give a title, it would be More of the Same. More of the same can have a number of different meanings. More of the same could just be that there's not a change, you're just doing the same thing over and over again. More of the same can be a progression. You know, it's snowing and it continues to snow and it snows harder, it's more of the same. More of the same could be an increase, that it could be increasing from, if we're going to stick with snow, with small flakes to big flakes or something. So more of the same can have a number of different meanings. I kind of would like to stay with the idea of more of the same in a proper context, we'll say. We could have more of the same and kind of just be out of context a little bit by, let me see if I can think of an example here. Just going too far, you know. We are called to a life of prayer. So maybe going too far would be spending all day, every day in prayer, not eating, and you starve to death. You know, that's kind of ridiculous. But so we're not going into that type of thought. It's to keep into what we, I guess, would reasonably do. Now, more of the same isn't necessarily all positive, though. More of the same could be, we could have bad habits of more of the same. And what I mean by that, sometimes I guess I have known people to be late for work every day. And to just to kind of use that, you know, silly example and kind of bring it to point is, if somebody left for work, they needed to be at work at 7 o'clock and they left at 10 after seven, they're not going to make it. You know, just kind of leave them too late. But they get better. They leave at 7 o'clock to get to work at 7 o'clock. Isn't that great? No, that's not great. That's more of the same. That's the same problem. It's just a little different. So, you know, those are the ideas that run through my head here when I think of that. Looking at these verses here from 32 to 37, I thought of the first few chapters of the book of Acts and thought, we have believers here that are living their life more of the same. And that's kind of what I would like to look at here. And verse 31 reads here, it says, and when they had prayed, now these are the believers that came together after Peter and John were let go, that Peter and John were detained because they were preaching the resurrection, that Jesus was resurrected to the people, and the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, detained them, and they were really found no reason for them, so they were threatened and let go. And so then they went, Peter and John went to their fellow believers, told them what had happened, prayed to the Lord, and it starts here in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, and they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So When they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the word of God was spoken boldly. More of the same of what we had already looked at there in the first few verse chapters of the book of Acts. I'd like to read verses 32 to 37 now. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of any things of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the pieces of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So here at the end of chapter 4, we have the condition of the church at the time. How are they doing? We have here at the beginning of verse 32, we have the words "and the multitude of them." Well, that's a pretty big change. That's a pretty big number difference. If we think back into the beginning of Acts chapter 1, there was about 120 believers who met together to pray, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. So they went from 120 people who set their lives aside for the Lord. Now we have it categorized as a multitude, multiple thousands. There was a time back here, a couple of chapters, that 3,000 came to the Lord, and then there was another time that I don't remember what the number was, if there was a number given, but there's been a number of times here that people have come to the Lord, and it is categorized as a multitude, quite a big increase there from the beginnings of the book. The people that make up the multitude are the very ones who brought about the conditions that Peter and John were in previously. If we turn back to Acts chapter 2, I'd like to read from verses 36 to, I guess, to the end of the chapter here. Here in verse 36 of Acts 2 reads, "Now when they heard this," this is the people that were listening to Peter. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked to their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is not unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Okay, so this promise is for all people at all times. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. So that's the, I guess, the description of how people came into the church, came to follow Jesus Christ as the Savior of their souls. The multitude went from 120, or I should say, started at 120 and went to the multitude. And it says in here how they behaved. Those very first believers, the ones that crucified the Lord. I thought I wrote some verse, I guess chapter 4, verse 10 here. This is the second time Peter proclaimed to the people there. He said to them, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. It is through Jesus Christ who they crucified was the reason that that man was made whole, and that's the reason why they are able to come to God the way they are, is because what Jesus had done. But they were the ones who took part, or some of them at least, and took part in the condemning Jesus to the cross. So the multitude of them believed with one heart and one soul, as we read there in Acts chapter 2 as well. Neither said any of them that ought, or I wrote above it any. I wasn't sure what ought meant, so it means just as well if we could put the word any in there. So any of them that any of the things, so the things that they had, all of the things that they had were held loosely. So as it says there, which he possessed was his own. See, I throw my words in there, mix it all up. Neither said any of them that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Again, very much like what was written there in the second chapter. Again, more of the same. They followed the apostles' doctrine. They had the Old Testament scriptures, but they also had the teachings of Jesus. Jesus' teachings that he taught and showed the apostles, the disciples, the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. They passed those along to the people. In verse 33 reads, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices for the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according to as he had need." So we have the follow through of what we were reading before, is how they took their possessions, how they had things in common. They shared amongst each other as the different people had need. They did so as it says in verse 33, with great power and great grace. And as I looked at and read some different references about great power and great grace, it pretty much means what it says. The power there is also translated in different places, miracles. So the power that they're talking about is a miraculous power. The mighty deeds, different miracles that they had done, as well as a great grace. has also been translated as favor, being thankful. So the grace of God was upon them, and the power of God was on them. And I had to think, how did they get here? They didn't get here in a day. They didn't get here because they took a few classes or whatever, you know, some self-help groups. They spent time with Jesus. They got here because of their relationship with the Lord. And not only did the apostles and those, the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles get there that way, but they shared and, I'm not sure how to say that, conveyed, gave that very same understanding and knowledge to the disciples, the remaining disciples, the new ones that had came to the Lord that make up the multitude. The great power, the witness of the resurrection, the great grace that came upon them all, not just a few, but them all, because each one has the opportunity, each one of us has the opportunity to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a special place, a special person, but we all have that opportunity. And then, so how did they work all those things together? Well, it says, neither was there any among them that lacked, because those that had possessions were willing to share them, sell them, do what was needed. I had to think also of how Jesus and his disciples were treated by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law. These were very difficult times. We'll see later in a few chapters that the actual persecution got a lot worse, and they were scattered amongst the nations later after the stoning of Stephen there in chapter 8. The disciples moved out of Jerusalem and went into the country, into different places. So there was a need, and that need, and because of that need, the people filled it. That they were working, they were more than just working well together. They were together, as it says there in verse 32. One soul and one heart. One heart. They were of one heart and of one soul. So it was more than just a working together. The need brought them together. And we see that even in our lives when there is a event, when there is a disaster, when something happens, people tend to join together and be able to get things done that need to happen. I had to think of the Tower of Babel. You know, we don't really talk much about the Tower of Babel. I don't know if it's because we think it's a children's story or not, but I had to think about the Tower of Babel. The people, they were the language in the world, there was one language. Everybody spoke the same thing. And when they went to the Valley of Shinar, or went to the land of Shinar, they decided they were going to build this tower to reach the heavens. And God said that wasn't good. So he confused their language. When people work together, they can get great things done. It actually surprised me as well. I had to think of the day that I heard that the Twin Towers were planes slammed into these buildings, and the attitudes of so many people for a period of time changed. And people started working together, got along, did things that they wouldn't have otherwise because they had a common goal. And we see here the idea, the understanding, the principle that Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, can be of one heart and one soul. And when they work together, great power that was given to the apostles, great grace. When there's a need, it is fulfilled because the people were willing to give of what they had. And then we go to verse 35. We have the beginning of the account of Barnabas, or who we call Barnabas later. His name is, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it, but I'll call him Joseph. Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And this is where I came up here with the title, More of the Same, because this is exactly what Barnabas did. He did more of the same thing that the other apostles, the other disciples did. They were of one heart and of one mind. He laid at the apostles' feet the money that he had because there was a need. He wasn't from Jerusalem originally. He could have lived his whole life there for all I know. It doesn't say how long, but originally he came from Cyprus. He was a Levite, so he was of the priestly tribe. He doesn't really give, you know, really his background. I'm going to assume he was trained and taught as a Jewish Levite, somebody who knew the law, but he also was a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. He took those things that he had and he did more of the same of what we read in these verse four chapters here of Acts. And that's what I like to encourage us to do. When we know what is good, let's do that. You know, we can't go wrong. Even a child has some experiences in their life. And as a parent, may surprise you, but my children need a discipline. And they knew that if they did certain things, certain disciplines were going to happen. But they did it anyway. And as we grow and mature, part of the maturing process is to learn that, you know, I don't want to repeat the poor behavior. It doesn't get me where I want to go. And we see here in these last few verses of chapter 4, the repeating of the good behavior. So I encourage us to find that good behavior that is here in Scripture and to repeat that to those that are around us. Thank you for your time. Fire.